This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
Hi, it's Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK. We started this unbelievable story on abortion that appeared in The Atlantic, an article written by some extremist who apparently hates babies, children, human beings, doesn't have any use for ultrasounds, certainly because they can detect heartbeats, which to her are imaginary. And they can tell you that that this person in the womb is moving around, and she says that creates a false image that depicts stimulus, like they can move around. That's not true. I mean, where is she getting any of this stuff? She is opposed to ultrasounds because in a lot of states, including Texas now, if you want an abortion, they have you take an ultrasound so that you can at least, okay, see what you're aborting. All right, here it is. It's not tissue. There it is.
How dare they?
Are you whispering to me?
How? I'm just saying bastards. Oh,
okay. Well, look at that. How could you make somebody look at that? How could you do it?
Thank you.
I mean, they don't have to do anything with it. In fact, I mean, I guess you could close your eyes, but they take the ultrasound, and then if you still want the abortion, you get the abortion. The problem is about 90% of women don't get the abortion afterwards.
Why would that be?
Because they realize, oh, my gosh, that is a living person inside of me. That isn't a Volkswagen Beetle. It's not a Buick. It's not a lump of broccoli. It is a baby in there.
And that is actually, when they say unborn babies aren't ultrasounds are just tools of the patriarchy, that's what they're talking about. They're saying that people have realized that this thing looks like a baby, and men are using that to take away women's rights.
And why
because
would
women
we,
decide when they see it, they decide they don't want abortions. Go ahead, Patrick.
And we do that. Why?
Why do we do?
Yeah. Why do we? Why would we? What do we have to gain by saying it's a baby? Keep it. Just taking away their rights.
I guess it's just for fun.
Yeah.
I have the same question. You know, we talked about this a little bit on radio today about how, these white men want to take away my rights, but my body. Well, it's interesting. First of all, you point out white, obviously, just for no reason, pointing out that you think that white people obviously probably are racist, right? You're pointing out their race because these people shouldn't have any voice. Well, you know what? Our policy results in 12 million extra African Americans being alive. What does your policy result in?
14, actually.
14. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry, Pat. Yeah. 14 million extra African Americans being alive. Your policy results in all of them dead. So who's racist here?
Yeah.
You could say all you want that my policy of not giving special treatment to African Americans to admit them into college is a really racist policy. You might believe that. You might claim that. But none of my policies result in 14 million African Americans dead. It's kind of a cool thing. It's good to be on this side of the argument.
And more black people would continue to be born in New York City than are aborted. Mm-hmm. So that would exponentially increase the black population in a place like New York City, where it's not the case now. We're killing more than half of them. So, gosh, that doesn't seem like a racist policy to me at all. It seems like we're advocating for more African-American people on this planet, which is interesting to call us racist then. You know, it'll result in more blacks, more Hispanics, more Chinese, more white people. There'll just be more people. It's ridiculous how this whole thing has been spun. And the spin on Planned Parenthood, who is all about abortion. I mean, without abortion, Planned Parenthood would not exist. I think we all know and understand that. But they claim to cover prenatal care and take care of all of those issues.
So good.
Here's a look at an undercover video that explores that question.
It's incredible. Prenatal care. These are the kinds of services that folks depend on Planned Parenthood for.
And a president who will fight for prenatal care.
Prenatal care. And that is what we want to focus on. That is what is so vital.
That's what is so vital.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood. My name's Pat. Can I assist you today?
Hi, I was hoping to make an appointment for prenatal care.
For what type of service?
Prenatal care, pregnancy care.
We don't have prenatal care here. Planned Parenthood offers abortion, so they don't offer prenatal care.
Okay, just abortions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no, we wouldn't provide any type of prenatal services here at Planned Parenthood.
We're not a prenatal care provider. No, Planned Parenthood does prenatal care. We don't offer prenatal care at Planned Parenthood. We specialize in abortions. You know, that's what our ultrasounds are for, to see how far along the patient is.
Planned Parenthood, we do birth control, you know, things like that, termination. We check for STI, but we don't do prenatal.
We tell you you're pregnant, and we also prefer how to do the abortions.
Okay.
So we don't do any prenatal services.
No prenatal.
No, we don't do prenatal services. I mean, it's called Planned Parenthood. I know it's kind of deceiving.
Do you have OBGYNs here?
We do not, no.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is a deceptive name, right?
Right.
Wow. It is this deceptive name because they kill all the kids. They don't have any care at all.
It is a deceptive
name. That's a good observation. It's a really funny one. It's hilarious about how you're killing 300,000 kids a year, and you say it's about prenatal care, and then people parrot that across the country, and you're not even doing it, and you're taking our tax dollars to make it that funny. It's that freaking funny what you're doing. I'm so glad she realized the irony there, which is it's not about Planned Parenthood at all. It's about killing babies, and the whole time they keep saying prenatal care, even though they don't offer it at any of their establishments. That is hilarious, Pat. What a great bit of comedy.
Watching those videos, a few things come to mind. Doctored, fake, out of context. Lies
hacked.
Is that what they said?
That's what I say. I mean, that's what's coming.
I would assume they would. I mean, obviously, they're going to have all the complete calls to prove each one of those, which is, but it's amazing. I mean, that is an incredible thing. Because not only is it obvious they don't offer the thing that they keep saying they offer, but beyond that, they don't even know enough to lie about it to people when they call. They don't even know enough to say, hey, we have some prenatal care, but maybe not in this office. Or we have some prenatal care, but I don't know, if you might want to go to a different to get everything you need. They don't even have a way to get out of it. They're so blatantly an abortion factory that they don't even know to teach their people to lie to people when they call. I mean, it's absolutely, utterly amazing.
How did this happen? It was started by a racist eugenicist for the sole purpose of eliminating blacks. And now...
Which was, by the way, incredibly successful. They've eliminated 14 million.
14 million. I mean, so her vision has really been realized. Yeah. Except I don't know that her vision included whites in the beginning. I guess she's fine with that, too, because it's also a population control thing. So Margaret Sanger's vision for this evil agency has been realized. However, they've been able to spin it in that they're all about women's healthcare services. Hey, if you need a mammogram, come here, even though we don't have mammograms. We don't do them. You want prenatal care? Come here, even though we don't do prenatal care. But we'll do your abortion. The only reason they have ultrasounds, it was said on those one of those phone calls, so that they could find out how far along you are to perform the abortion. That's just, I mean, that's phenomenal. How is this place not shut down? At least all federal funding eliminated. I really don't understand it.
And again,
it's really incredible.
If what they did was prenatal care and not abortions, there would be no one in America.
Nobody would.
Them.
Right. That's right. That
no one cares. There's plenty of places that do all the other things without the abortions. Do you know their names? No, because no one protests them.
Jeez.
This is the only they do what 30% of the nation's abortions is one freaking place. And we're giving them money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insanity. It's insanity.
Really is. David Crowder went undercover to
Stephen Crowder, I believe.
Stephen Crowder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says David Crowder here. That didn't sound right, and it isn't right. Stephen Crowder went undercover to check out what women's rights were in peril at the big march over the weekend. And here's what he found out about those rights.
As far as policy, what should we all be most concerned about with this march with Donald Trump and this administration?
To you.
To me.
Like the rights.
Specifically to your community or in general?
You know, I think personally,
the imminent challenges that are kind of like projected or forecasted for the country as overall, like.
Oh my gosh.
I think that the biggest concern for me is just this idea that this administration has a right to tell any of us what we can do with our bodies,
right.
What we can wear on our bodies,
right.
What we can say about our bodies.
Right.
Say about our bodies?
Multiple answers to that.
Okay.
And that is our choice, not theirs, and it's not theirs to tell
us. What we can wear
is
certainly not fashion advice from Mike Pence.
That's solid.
Did a nice job on that. That's
ball. I mean, it's ballsy too.
Yeah,
to go into the middle of a crowd like that and try to pull that off. I will say too, you hear this one all the time. I don't want them to do anything with my body. And there's no one cares about your body. Mm. No one's trying to deal with your body. Like, there's no restriction on what you do to your body. The restriction is what you do to the other body inside of you. That is an important. Mm-hmm. It's a living thing, and that's what the issue is. The other part is I've never heard anyone complain about what we can say about our bodies or what we can wear on our bodies. Basic legal restrictions about what you can wear. Like, is that what are they complaining? Like, they should be able to go topless? The whole complaint of
that's all that's left, right?
Probably.
I will punish all men by doing the thing they love most, taking our tops off.
Oh, ow. Okay.
No, you.
All
people.
Right, go ahead. Good protest. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, you apparently uncovered another liar. We saw a lot there, and there are more.
Okay.
Lies and liars going on.
Yeah. Do we have the Inconvenient sequel trailer that we had yesterday? Okay, that is going to need to go with that, so maybe we can pull that up. We'll take a break. Come back. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Back in just a moment.
All righty.
With more.
We'll do it in a minute here. That's what we'll do.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do we have this? 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Do we have the, we got the trailer. This is Al Gore, an Inconvenient sequel, because, you know, we haven't heard enough from Al Gore in a while. He's been too quiet since this movie.
Like a wallflower.
Yeah. We really thought for a while he was going to run. Because, you know, Hillary would drop out or something and then Al would step in.
Had he run, he might have won.
I think he probably would. I think, honestly, I mean, anyone who wasn't under federal investigation probably would have won.
Yeah.
That was a big deal for poor Hillary. Anyway, here's the Al Gore trailer.
10 years ago, when the movie An Inconvenient Truth came out,
right,
the single most criticized scene in that movie was an animated scene showing that the combination of sea level rise and storm surge would put the ocean water into the 9/11 memorial site, which was then under construction.
This is actually just
And people crazy. Said, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
What a terrible exaggeration.
Sure did.
Oh boy, there it is.
There
is a wake-up call here. Holy cow! He was right.
Climate change and our vulnerability to it.
Right, right.
It was true 10 years ago. It was true 5 years ago. It is undeniable.
Undeniable. Look at that. Look at it. Oh my God.
Well, Andrew Cuomo says it.
Well, you know it's undeniable then when Andrew Cuomo says it, because Andrew Cuomo is the arbiter of truth.
Yeah.
Along with Al Gore. Wow, that's powerful. I mean, you saw it right then with your own eyes.
Interesting.
Your own eyes.
What happened between the first movie coming out and the second one was the entire Obama administration.
Yeah.
Notice it doesn't come out then. Will there be word one of criticism of Barack Obama in this movie? I doubt it. But that claim in particular is so infuriating to me because it's such a blatant lie.
He showed it. He showed the proof.
He did.
He showed the proof.
Yep.
Stu, I don't know how you're going to wiggle out of this lie because he showed it. It's right there before our eyes. So
give me an opportunity to try from the wonderful world of Stu.
All right. You're going to make a fool of yourself.
The sky is falling. You know the chickens that believe that in the story get eaten? Yet the environmental belief of a falling sky due to our SUVs has become sacrosanct in our society. Question it and become the equivalent of a Holocaust denier. The main chicken predicting the falling sky is none other than Al Gore, a man who has been a complete liar every second of his life for at least as long as I've known he's existed. When you lie a lot and get caught a lot, you tend to find justifications for your behavior. And Gore has been doing that quite a lot. Recently, he's come to claim that his scare tactics from his B-level horror film, An Inconvenient Truth, have been vindicated. If he wanted to do a monologue about every time we caught Al Gore lying, this would not be a once-a-week show. It would be multiple simultaneous live 24/7 networks. But this particular lie is so supernaturally disingenuous, the architecture must be highlighted. What Gore has been talking about is Superstorm Sandy, a storm so super, it wasn't really a hurricane anymore before it hit the East Coast. The storm caused upwards of $70 billion in damages, not because of its strength, but because of where it hit, New York City. You know, the place that contains the low-lying island where we store most of our tall buildings. Let me paint the horrifying picture for you. In less than an hour, a 13-foot storm surge deluged the city, swallowing everything below Canal Street. The Battery was particularly devastated. Docks were destroyed, and ships were swept onto streets. Further uptown, a bridge that connected Harlem to Ward's Island was washed away, and somewhere in Chinatown, the East River likely met the Hudson. Oh, actually, sorry, that wasn't about Sandy at all. It was a story about the Great New York Storm of 1821, long before there were SUVs. Gore's reaction to Sandy was less mourning for the victims and more celebrating his own brilliance. Not incidentally, you have to be a special kind of douche to use human tragedy to prove yourself right. And that's why Al Gore is a vaunted member of the Douche Hall of Fame.
Douche Hall of Fame.
Here's what he said. The single most common criticism from skeptics when the film came out focused on the animation showing ocean water flowing into the World Trade Center Memorial Site. Skeptics called that demagogic and absurd and irresponsible. It happened last October 29th, years ahead of schedule. Over the past few years, Gore has peppered his mindless followers with version after version of these comments, all with the same story. In An Inconvenient Truth, I predicted New York City would be underwater. Superstorm Sandy proved me right. And since it happened sooner than I predicted, global warming is even worse than I've been telling you. We are totally screwed. As you might imagine, the kind of person who shows up to see Al Gore speak eats this up without any challenge. Gore knows this, of course, which is the only reason he even attempts it. Because anyone who actually bothered to watch his movie would know he was lying. It's true that Gore predicted the flooding of New York. Here's the clip.
This is the World Trade Center Memorial Site. And after the horrible events of 9/11, we said never again. But this is what would happen to Manhattan They can measure this precisely, just as the scientists could predict precisely how much water would breach the levees in New Orleans. The area where the World Trade Center Memorial is to be located would be underwater.
Did I mention that you have to be a special kind of douche to use human tragedy to prove yourself right? And that's why Gore is a vaunted member of the Douche Hall of Fame.
Douche Hall of Fame.
Gore's tactic of using 9/11 to scare people about the weather is tasteless to an almost inhuman level. But hey, he did predict that New York would flood, right? With a prediction like this, there are three elements we need to focus on. The what, which was the flood in this case. We'll look more at that in a second. Then the when. He admits himself that he was wrong on that. Most importantly, though, is the why. Why did he say New York was going to flood? Amazingly, he tells us the why and proves himself a liar in his own movie. Watch.
If Greenland broke up and melted, or if half of Greenland and half of West Antarctica broke up and melted, this is what would happen.
So why was New York going to flood? Not because of a storm of any sort, because of a breaking up and melting of all of Greenland and or West Antarctica. Can we get an overhead? Is there any ice left on Greenland or West Antarctica? Weird. It seems like there is. What Gore predicted was a global 20-foot sea level rise caused by global warming-induced complete melting of the Greenland ice shelf. When he said that, even his scary source material, the United Nations IPCC report, was predicting about 11 inches of sea level rise, not 20 feet. At the time, they only had, quote, medium confidence of, quote, partial melting of Greenland over, quote, a period of time ranging from centuries to millennia. And even if all of that happened, it would only be half of what Gore was predicting. When he said he predicted the flood, he's lying about that too. What he predicted was not a temporary flood, but a permanent one. 1 week after Hurricane Sandy, about 600,000 people in the United States still didn't have power. That surely sucked big time. But in Gore's prediction, 100 million people would be displaced from their homes permanently, never to return. Where do I get that fact? In his movie, more precisely, the exact sentence directly before the clip of the movie he wants people to watch.
Think of the impact of a couple hundred thousand refugees when they're displaced by an environmental event. And then imagine the impact of 100 million or more.
Think about the balls of this guy for a second. It's not like you'd have to check complicated hurricane studies to prove he is lying. It's not even like you'd have to look in another part of his movie. It's amazing. This guy is directing people to his movie to prove his prediction is correct, when he knows that the previous 70 seconds of footage proves him to be a liar. And he is so sure that his audience is a bunch of blind, mindless followers and will believe anything he says without double checking, that he does it anyway, over and over and over again, speech after speech after speech. And the worst part is he's right. They applaud like a bunch of lemmings and go home and feel wonderful about themselves and their wonderful levels of purity and service. So to sadly, sadly, pathetically review, Gore is lying about being right about predicting flooding in New York. The evidence is his own words in his own movie. And did I mention Al Gore is a vaunted member of the Douche Hall of Fame?
Oh boy. Welcome, Patent Stu. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Feel good about your lies now? About Al Gore?
Right.
Just, I mean, the guy proved his point. He showed.
No, did you watch what the last segment?
He showed the rain coming in. It flooded just like he said.
Yep.
Just years before he said it was
years
going
ahead
to happen.
Of schedule.
Years ahead of schedule. And it's because of our SUVs. SUVs.
Just the fact that he would put that. And that's not actually the trailer, right? I know we were showing a clip of the movie, it seems like. That's not actually the trailer. But like the fact that they would promote that clip, that is incredible. And it shows how much confidence he has that the media will not look back at his actual claims.
Just, I mean, come on.
That is incredible. That's the clip.
I mean, he just keeps powering through,
moment.
Right? I mean, like Pat, he doesn't talk to anyone except for people who are like-minded.
That's right.
So he just powers through, man. Right. Just keeps saying the same stuff.
He will not do a hostile interview. I mean,
even one that may appear to be.
Yeah. He wouldn't, like, for instance, he won't go on Fox News and debate, you know, Bill O'Reilly. Or Sean Hannity. He wouldn't dare do that. He wouldn't come on our show. He will go on MSNBC where they'll say, how come people just can't get all scared over global warming? And, I know, it's tragic that I can't get them to listen to me. These people are like the people who still believe the earth is flat. Now that demeans them a little bit. But they're so stupid, they don't know they're being demeaned. I mean, he'll do that, but he will not come on a show that is likely to oppose him on anything. Give him an alternate fact.
I mean, maybe he'd go on like Shep Smith if he was going to go on Fox or something. Somebody who you think would be
I don't know if we'd
receptive.
Even do that.
I don't think so either. Because even, but, I mean, even though, like, you go out of your way on some of those shows, some of the radio shows, to say, look, we're going to be straight up. No confrontation. And it's just, there's a possibility of it. He won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear him anywhere.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do your segment, Jeffy, if we could.
Oh, can we do that? Do we have a Jeffy intro?
Maybe we do the Jeffy intro here, if you can find it. And jump, hop right into that.
Well, yeah, I know you prepared a lot for today. I want to make sure.
I could probably put
we want to make sure that.
You could find
something. As long as they're looking for the open, I mean, I might as well try to find a story.
Yeah, you might want to try to find something.
Here are some stories that Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us so we don't have to talk anymore.
Breaking news. The Republican state senator, this is kind of disappointing, actually. Republican state senator resigned from his position after he shared a social media post that suggested women who attended the Women's March were too ugly to be sexually assaulted. Nebraska senator.
Sexually assaulted?
Oh, jeez.
That's not good.
No.
You can't joke
hear
about
what
that.
He said. I mean, this is horrific.
What did he say?
Nebraska Senator Bill Kintner retweeted a photo from conservative radio host Larry Elder from the Women's March on Saturday. The photo of three women holding signs alluding to President Donald Trump's comments that he grabbed women by the genitals without their permission was captioned. This is what he tweeted. Now, I think if you have to dump it, go ahead and dump it. Ladies, I think you're safe.
That's it?
Because the sign said, not this.
Oh.
P.
Oh, okay.
Not mine either. Not my, ladies, I think you're safe.
Larry Elder can get away with that because he's black. But the representative can't get away with retweeting that because, you know.
I mean, he didn't say anything about sexual assault in that.
Right.
And neither did
all
the
he said was, I think you're safe, and then the guy retweeted without further comment or what?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's interesting because, I mean, if the sign said, I will not be sexually assaulted, and it said, ladies, I think you're safe, that's one thing. But she just said, not my... Because people are
Lincoln Journal
reporter
Kintner initially told other Twitter users that he found the tweet to be funny. Then he's deactivated his Twitter account, and now he's stepping down.
And this is the difference between Trump and all these guys.
Down from office?
Yep.
It's incredible. This is the difference between Trump and everybody else and what people like about Trump. Trump would have just said, you know what? They were ugly.
Right. Trump would have said, he's right.
They're ugly, and I wouldn't sexually assault them because they're ugly.
And he wouldn't even have called. He wouldn't even have had to call them ugly. He would have just said, "Kintner's right. They had nothing to worry about."
Yeah,
and move on.
I mean, and that is what people like about him. Again, like, it's one thing if there is a line there where obviously the guy should be in a lot of trouble. That's a little tasteless, but the woman, it's not like the woman actually was sexually assaulted and you're saying she's not pretty. He didn't say, her sign didn't say anything about sexual assault. You're drawing that out of the previous comments from Trump, which he obviously denied, and I'm sure this guy doesn't agree was sexual assault. We've covered that before. You know, in that, like...
Actually, you know what? Kintner didn't even say it. Kintner retweeted. Elder was the one that said, ladies, I think you're saying. I mean, he didn't even quote the tweet. That's agonizing.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a good idea if you're a state senator to tweet that, but again, why do we fire so many people over tweets?
For Twitter. Plus, it's not even... I mean, it's just saying, hey, I think this is kind of cute, retweet.
Yeah, and again, how many times do you see on someone's Twitter bio, it says... retweets do not equal endorsements.
Correct.
I mean, you know, that is God, we got to relax agonizing. A little bit.
All right, good news for us and for people who watch Fox News, because we like to be informed and we like to have very smart people informing us. Marie Harf.
Yes.
From the State Department. You remember her from some of the news conferences from the State Department.
I do, yes.
She's so great. She's going to be joining Fox News. There's Marie. She's going to be joining Fox News as a... contributor.
Gotta be kidding me. Oh my gosh.
Well, this is interesting because this happened throughout the Roger Ailes era.
Wow.
Take the person from the left, throw them on TV. They hired a lot of people who were power players on the left. But I think now people are going to call about and say, wait a minute, what's going on? You now that Roger Ailes is gone, you're going to be hiring Marie Harf.
I know.
You know.
Come on.
Now, I mean, they've always had left-wing contributors. I mean, he hired some of the furthest left-wing people that you can possibly imagine onto that, you know, set. Not a lot of people who were
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was I in the middle of a thought?
You were.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
You were all waiting to hear.
I lost my train of thought.
Not a lot of people who were.
He was, Roger Ailes was famous in certain media circles for hiring liberals who were not attractive. Because his idea was, I'm not saying this is not, true.
This defeats your case. I mean, look at Marie.
I mean, she's not, is actually not a bad looking, I don't think she's bad looking. But I mean, I don't know that Marie, I actually think she's kind of good looking, actually.
That's a cute look right there.
I mean, not all the time, but you know. But the point is that was not the MO of Ailes, as reported. I don't mean to put words in his mouth. I'm sure he would deny that. But like, there was a reason Hannity and Combs existed. There was the idea was Hannity, this good looking, clean cut guy, the conservative, versus Combs, who maybe was not quite as attractive.
Strange.
That was a theory. Think of the unattractive female liberal commentators you know, and think about where you've seen them. You've seen them in one place, largely. Fox News.
Okay.
Again, that's the theory. I'm not saying there's any truth to that.
All right.
I mean, and obviously, when you talk about attractive conservatives, it wasn't always the case. He also hired Glenn Beck.
Very true.
That is a good point.
Thank you.
Very true. Is a good point.
What else do we have in Jeffy time?
For sure, I want to talk a little bit about DeVos.
Oh, yeah.
She tweeted something about being at the inauguration.
Yes.
This is for you, Pat Gray, in particular, because most people look at it and go, you know, who cares? But her tweet, and she wants to be Secretary of Education.
Right. I was just going to say, this is the Education Secretary, so you would think she'd be careful about it.
She's nominated. She hasn't been
confirmed
yet. Right,
but she probably will be. So anyway, what's her tweet?
Her tweet from the inauguration was graded from people questioning her ability to be Secretary of Education. Honored to be...
honored to witness the historical... inauguration
and swearing-in ceremony of the 45th president
for
of the,
the 45th president of the United States.
And then it was graded.
So it should have been honored to witness the historic inauguration without being capitalized. And
I guess they're saying the inauguration and swearing-in ceremony is the same.
And swearing-in
skipped it.
Yes.
Ceremony. Yeah. Okay.
No, four and just inauguration.
Inauguration of the 45th president of the United States. Plus, you're saying things that don't need to be said.
Correct.
Nice job, Betsy.
Not ideal.
That's cute.
Nice
she
job.
Was. That's cute. I mean, I've heard really good things about her from some people. I know Jeb Bush loves her. First of all,
that's a little.
Well, yeah, they're both Common Core people,
right? So some Republicans do like her. Mm-hmm. She says she's not a Common Core person. She did not perform well in the hearing. It's an impossible situation. Very difficult to pull that off. But you know, it's tough. You're throwing her in the middle.
And if you're Betsy, look, I mean, her and her hubby are only worth about $5 billion. So you know she needs the gig.
Are they really?
Yeah. Like probably the poorest person Trump appointed.
What does he do? What does her husband do?
I don't know.
Why do you assume the husband was the one that did something?
Yeah.
Because she's in education, and they don't usually make a lot of money.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer.
That's a good comeback,
That's
Potsy.
That's a great answer. Right? Well, I mean, you know, you were just looking at the average salary of someone in the education.
Exactly right. That's,
and you answered my question. Thank you. So that was a little bit...
just a cute story for Pat, I mean, Mr.
All right.
Warden
what
Smith.
Else you got?
A couple stories left from today. One thing is, in Pennsylvania, there's an opportunity for someone to really put something together. A Pittsburgh Mills Mall... Mm-hmm. Originally, $190 million, has been purchased for $100. A full $100.
The whole bill.
It was sent into foreclosure, put up for auction, $100. Now, I'm sure there's plenty of taxes.
Right, a lot of probably, God only knows what else you're picking
all
up.
All kinds
that
of
property.
Stuff picking up with that. But, I mean,
still,
I just find it funny that I mean, this is, malls are dying.
It,
you bet they are.
A Pittsburgh Mills.
You bet they
Pittsburgh
are.
Mills well, I got ITT Technical Institute still in there.
No, I don't think there are anything in there anymore.
I think it is actually about half full still.
Oh, still?
Yeah,
is it?
It's okay. Still operating. Now, a lot of these malls are just like, you know, graveyards, basically.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
you
kidding.
Go in there, there's trees growing through the floor at this point. Pittsburgh Mills, my understanding was, because I saw the story, that they're about half open, about
is
half
that,
filled.
Is that is that an outlet store? Or a mall?
A lot of
like
them are.
Grapevine Mills and Katy Mills Mall here in Texas. I wonder if it's the same
Possibly.
Chain of people. Because they usually do
pretty
they
good.
Do nice Mills. Mills. They do nice malls.
Performing very well.
Yeah.
Here, I don't know. I've never been to Katy Mills.
Yeah, it's nice. A little bit older than Grapevine, but still very nice and successful. All right, you got anything else?
One more that's been burning up the story list for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
We ran the video here a few months ago before the holidays, before the new year, of the man who stole the bucket of gold.
Oh, right, yes.
And remember remember the controversy over the guy in the truck, and we saw him go by, and he was casing the truck
and walking
around. And then he ended up taking it and walking down the street and getting out of camera sight and everything. Well, he's been arrested.
How'd they catch him?
Oh, no.
They caught him.
How'd they catch him?
Well, police, he had his picture on the screen a couple of times, and he was known... to authorities.
Oh, was
he? He's been arrested like 7 or 8 times.
Oh, wow.
He'd been deported 3 or 4 times back to his home country of Ecuador 3 or 4 times.
So I think what you're saying here is this was a worthwhile attempt.
Yes.
Because if you're because part of it looked like he's a normal guy walking through the streets of New York City, sees this opportunity,
Correct.
Just goes for it. If you're already a criminal and could be deported at any minute, you go for the $1 billion of gold.
Mm-hmm. He was missing. They thought they had him. They found him in Orlando. They kind of tagged him to Orlando. Then they tagged him to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And then they tagged him. They tried him. He was missing for a while. The authorities in Ecuador arrested him.
He made it all the way back.
And the authorities worked with us to arrest him in Ecuador.
Yeah. Did they get all the gold?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Any of the gold?
I don't think that. I don't know that the story said what they
was it a
got
billion dollars
him.
Worth? I forget. I forgot
I think it was,
that it was
like 1.6 billion or something. Wasn't it crazy?
No. 1.6 million.
Million.
Oh,
1.6 million.
Okay, that's still a lot of money.
That would have been heavy.
It's a lot, yeah. Yeah. 1.6 million is a lot.
I think I saw
1.6 billion. You're talking about bringing in
the police say they have recovered
a forklift.
Some.
Some.
I mean,
Jeez.
You know, obviously, I'm not a criminal that you know of, and so I don't have the.
I would have done this in a heartbeat.
Right, like Jeffy, for example. Now, Jeffy,
you'd do it, right, Jeffy?
You're obviously
you're being no
bones. You're gonna walk down the street and there's a bucket of gold and you're not gonna take it.
I mean, look, Jeffy's. You're obviously a bad guy. You know, a lot of people. No, I'll stop. That was just an excuse to just trash you for 5 minutes, and there's no need to that. There's no need for that. You're too good of a
seriously?
Person.
Seriously?
You're too good of a person. You
know? Seriously?
No.
No, okay. Good.
Not seriously,
thank you.
No.
All right, real quick, let's take a look at the 24 Legacy trailer. Because this is a new guy. It's not Jack Bauer anymore.
Right. After the Super Bowl, they're playing this thing, too. This is their big post-Super Bowl.
Yeah, you are lying.
This is the big show. So you got 24 episodes between now and summer. So this is going to should be big. And here's a look at that series.
I'm worried about you. You're barely eating or sleeping.
Go, go, go.
I think you gotta get past everything that happened to you over there.
I'm okay.
Are you?
Yes, she is. Beginning to think this whole thing was gonna happen without you.
Don't worry, I know how important this is.
It'll help us get into the White House.
Come on.
I want this to be your moment. You're gonna make a great first lady.
6 months ago,
former director of CTU Rebecca Ingram
launched an assault on the compound of Ibrahim Ben Khalid.
I'd like to acknowledge the many dedicated people at CTU and the six Army Rangers who risked their lives to stop Ben Khalid from carrying out his threat to attack this country.
This is for Ben Khalid.
Yeah, Eric, Ben Khalid's people found us.
What is it?
Get to the attic now. Go, go! No matter what you hear, no matter what happens, you stay there.
Oh, boy.
Nicole, we gotta go. Come on, Nicole, we gotta go. We're blown, Rebecca. Ben Khalid's people found us.
Ben Khalid was planning an attack on U.S. soil. Maybe this is a part of that.
I'm gonna kill a lot of people. I have to try and stop them.
Why does it need to be you?
I'm the only one I can trust.
The hell are you doing here?
I need your help. No one can know where she is.
There's a situation at CTU.
Whatever's going on over there, it's not your job anymore.
I'm the only one who can help. The life he says he wants with me, it'll never be enough for him. Ryan's just got on the number 13 bus. Stay on it.
I got it.
Then we better hurry.
Next year.
We're moving in.
Actually, a couple weeks. The clock resets.
Looks like you had a rough morning.
24 Legacy.
I think I'm in too.
I hope, though. I hope the people at 24 aren't saying that Ben Khalid is Muslim. I hope they're not saying that.
I hope he's
from France, or he's French-Canadian, or, you know, maybe he's from New Zealand. I don't know, but he'd best not be a Muslim.
And you, one final note before we have to go to break.
Mm-hmm.
You sexist pig.
Who?
Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
It's her money.
No, it isn't.
It's her money.
She's in an education. Okay, well, that's a surprise. What? Did she own a series of schools?
Well, it's kind of her money. Her dad was one of the founders of Amway.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been a lot of big conservative donors for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in on the 24 thing. I'm in too. To give it a shot.
Me too. That looked good.
I don't know that I'm going to stick through the entire season. If it's mediocre, I might bail. Yeah. But
that looked really good.
Yeah, that looked good.
More Pat and Stew coming up with another Spoon.
Yes, really?
Episode.
What? Oh, I love food. I love food.
Yes,
I love food. I love food.
Yes,
I love food. I love food. I love food.
It's just chips. Don't get too excited. It's just chips.
Unbelievable, right? We'll have to talk about that another
day. Yes.
Today it is Spoons time. We are making our way here. The wonderful new selection of chips available to you at 7-Eleven.
Oh, thank heaven.
Yesterday,
for 7-Eleven.
Yesterday we tried prime rib, which I gave a two or a four or something out of 18.
I hated them so much I had to try the whole bag to make sure I hated them as much as I thought I did.
Like, I couldn't eat them that much.
You did not give them a positive review, but then you ate the whole bag.
I just kept eating them.
These are
I actually wound up, I think, liking them kind of. But this is
hot Italian sausage. And I will say this, the smell is authentic sausage and pepper smell.
Let's
give them a try here. We got about a minute left.
Oh, man! I'm going to tell you. That tastes like
That tastes like sausage and peppers.
It does.
I like this better than the prime rib.
Much better.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, it's more.
Wow, those are
it
good.
It tastes more like what it's supposed to.
Yeah,
than
it's got a little
one.
Kick. Uh-huh. It's got the little sausage and pepper kick.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
It's got a, I'd call it a significant kick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
7-Eleven.
Much better.
Southland Corporation.
Really good, right, man.
Much better than the prime rib.
I mean, if you like kind of a spicy potato chip.
Yeah.
That's your boy right
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. Hot Italian
that's
sausage.
Your boy right there. That is your boy right there. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. that.
Wow, I would give these.
Yeah, these are at least 11 or 12.
I think I'd
give it like
15.
A 15.
I'm going to go 15 on a scale of 1 to 18.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. These are delicious. Wow. Now, there's no cheese on. Is that a cheesy flavor? So anything, you have to have cheese on it, I think, on a chip to get
and
to 18,
I am
right?
I'm really disappointed that that you can eat them and they're supposed to be
I know.
Yeah, products. They're nerdy, vegetarian friendly.
Wow.
I got to try it. That's a damn good chip.
Try these.
Hot Italian sausage.
Yeah.
Really good.
Wow.